express my appreciation for the fact that you've come to be with us today. You have visitors with us, and you're always welcome. We're glad to have you. What a beautiful day and occasion this is to come together. I can't think of any greater occasion for which a people could assemble under heaven at any time than that for which we've come together today. To worship God in spirit and in truth. I want to thank God, the maker of heaven, earth, and sea, and all that in them is, for his grace that has made this possible. The elders for making this happen this afternoon. And it thrills my soul to work alongside four very extraordinary individuals. Privilege and a blessing to be able to share the pulpit with these. And thanks for the remarkable women by our sides who have worked to make this possible. And commend each man who's participating in this study as I've worked with four others in preaching the gospel this afternoon. They've been working hard, and that'll show. We're all taking different parts and portions of this sermon. Five of us speaking on the subject, what we must do in truth. We hope that when we leave this afternoon that you'll have an even greater appreciation for the truth. Nothing in this world is as important as truth. Pilate asked the question in the book of John 18 and verse 38. What is truth? Have you thought about that? The Bible answers that question. The word of the Lord is truth. In Psalm 119 and in verse 142, the psalmist said, "Thy righteousness is everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth." And then in verse 151, he went on to say, "Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are what? Truth." In the Lord's Prayer, as recorded in John 17 and verse 17, Jesus said to the Father, "Sanctify them through truth." You remember that? Thy word is truth. When Paul commended the Thessalonians for their reception of the truth, here's what he said about them in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. "For this cause we also thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And so, what's the answer to the question? What is truth? You'll never forget it, please. The word of God is truth. Not believe that we could say with Jacob of old when he said to God in the book of Genesis 32 and verse 10, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant." What we'd like to do this afternoon, the five of us together, is to call your attention to some of our obligations to truth. From a positive standpoint, what we must do with truth. Let me suggest to you, first of all, that we must buy it. The truth is such a precious commodity that we ought to pay whatever price is necessary to have it in our possession. And so valiant that we'll not part with it at any cost. The wise man Solomon captures that concept in Proverbs 23:23, when he said, "Buy the truth and sell it not." The truth is like treasure hidden in a field, as Jesus represented the value of the kingdom in Matthew 13:44, saying, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." you and I ought to place that kind of value on the Lord's word. How valuable is gold? If you knew there was a gold mine in the field, would you try to get a hold of it? Would you try to buy it? Sacrifice what you had as to have it in your possession? Did you know the Lord's word is far more valuable than any earthly treasure? In Psalm 19, when the psalmist spoke of the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, he said in verse 10 of Psalm 19, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Psalm 19 10. And what to God that we could say with the psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. So as you think about what we must do with truth, first of all, we must buy it.
Something else that we must do with the truth is know it. We must know the truth. This is very important because if we do not know the truth, how can we do anything else with the truth? John chapter 8, verse 32 tells us, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we do not know the truth, how will we be made free? God wants us to know the truth. He would have all men to know the truth. If you look with me, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4. The Bible teaches, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Knowing the truth has always been important. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, we learn that God's people were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, thou also reject thee. You see the importance of knowledge and knowing the truth. So how do we know the truth? You look with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4. Paul tells us, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. In order to know the truth, you must read it, as well as 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman, and he is not to be ashamed, highly dividing the word of truth. We must study it in order to know it. You know, there are those who think that you cannot know the truth. There are those who may say, you cannot understand the Bible. The Bible teaches otherwise, though, like we just looked at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4. Paul once more said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and mystery of Christ. A good example is Timothy. It was said of him in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, that he knew the scriptures from a child. So we most certainly can know and understand the truth, and we must, by reading it and studying it. But also, when you consider what we must do with the truth, we must rightly divide the truth. Back to 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The scripture teaches that we need to study and work in order to rightly divide the truth. And the fact that it says rightly divide suggests to us that we can wrongly divide the truth. For example, if you just take one passage, like Romans 5 and verse 1, where it says justified by faith, and after reading that, you conclude that faith is the only thing essential for salvation without looking at any other scripture about faith in the Bible, people have wrongly divided the truth. Because in James chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So in order to rightly divide the truth, we must consider the context, consider who's speaking, consider who's being spoken to, everything that the Bible has to say about the topic. This is very important because if we wrongly divide the truth, it will result in our destruction. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. we must know the truth, we must rightly divide the truth, and we do that by reading and studying His Word.
Continuing on with our lesson, we must believe. Turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. As well as in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, we know it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So we realize from these two verses that there's punishment to those who do not believe. There's severity of not believing the truth. To not believe is going to get us eternal damnation. Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 20. Begin reading there in verse 30. It says, and many other signs showed to Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that he might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. So to believe the truth involves believing Jesus. It involves believing his words. We know in John 8, 24 that Christ said, believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So it's up to us what we believe. But to believe the truth will get us eternal life in heaven and give us that hope. To not believe puts ourselves in danger of eternal damnation. But fifthly, for this lesson, we want to suggest that we must love the truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and men that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Notice men that perish. And why they did that. It's because they did not receive the love of the truth. So is it possible for us to perish because we do not receive the love of the truth? Absolutely it is. We have an example of the psalmist in Psalm 119, who speaks a lot about loving the truth, loving the Word of God. I'd like to read a few verses from Psalm 119, beginning in verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law, it's my meditation. Verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law that I love. Go down to verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above all, yea, above fine gold. Verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth. Verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Verse 167. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. So if we love the truth, we're first going to meditate on it in verse 97. The truth can help us with our thoughts, verse 113. If we love the truth, we're not going to put a price on it, verse 127. The truth can help us to be pure, verse 140. The truth gives us peace, verse 165. And if we love it, we're going to do what it says in verse 167. Keep its testimonies and keep its commandments. So what we must do with the truth is believe it and love it.
Something else we should do with the truth is speak it. God's word is truth. John 17:17. As Christians, we need to be sharing it with others. In Mark 16:15, Jesus tells his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, take them the truth. 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul charged him, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Paul says, preach the word, speak the truth. There's way too much error and false doctrine being taught. Lies, whether in religious teaching, in the world, have very high price. In Revelation 21:8, the Bible warns, all lions shall have their part, the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Souls are at stake, people will be lost. This is why we need to be speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15.
thing to consider regarding truth, or to walk in it, to let it shape us, to guide us, or to allow it to be that lamp to our feet and the light to our path. The Bible warns of those who choose to walk in a different path. It warns of some who walk in the ways of darkness, Proverbs 2 and verse 13. It warns of some who walk in gloom, Isaiah 59 and verse 9. Jesus spoke of those who walk in blindness, Matthew 15 and verse 14. What a sad state spiritually. Brethren, we need to do much better than that. If we want so much more for ourselves and for others than that, than to walk in darkness, gloom, blindness, we need to walk in truth. Go to Galatians chapter 2, a point that Reggie brought out in our Bible class this morning. Paul tells of a time when he had to take another apostle Peter, to task. And notice the circumstance, Galatians 2, verses 11 through 14. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, Paul says, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw, listen, verse 14, that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? And so what was the problem here, Galatians 2? They were not straightforward about the truth. The NIV, they were not acting in line with the truth. The ESV, their conduct was not in step with the truth. The King James Version, they walked not uprightly according to the truth. Shame on them. Shame on Peter in that moment. Conduct worthy of being withstood to the face, according to verse 11. Why? They failed to walk in truth. Go back to 2 John, verse 4. 2 John, verse 4, these words. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we receive commandment from the Father. Dear friend, do you rejoice greatly at those walking in truth? Verse 6. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Ladies and gentlemen, dear brethren, are we doing that? Are we walking in love, walking in Christ's commandments, thus walking in truth? And then there's 3 John, verses 3 and 4. A favorite to parents when you think in the fleshly sense. A favorite to mentors and teachers when you think of the spiritual sense. 3 John, verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk out in the truth. Now look at verse 4. I have no greater joy. No greater joy. Then I hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. No greater joy than hearing, seeing, knowing that our children in the flesh, or as is the case here, in the faith, walk in truth. And I tell you, when it works the other way, hard to think of any greater disappointment.
Then you know about children.
We're both there. Praise God. For the good and honest hearts are offspring of those that we have opportunity to influence for good. And by that fruit, sell it not. That love it, that lap it up, that walk in it. Nicholas mentioned John 8:32. The fact that we must know the truth. I always like to put that one together with verse 34. And understand this is an if-then statement. The if, verse 31, if this happens, three things result. If you, what? You abide in my word, Jesus says. Number one, you are my disciples indeed. Number two, you shall know the truth. Number three, the truth that you now know shall be. All that happens, how am I truly his disciple indeed? How do I know truth? How am I set free by truth? Must do with truth. Buy it, know it, rightly divide it, believe it, love it, obey it, speak it, walk in it. Dear brethren, that's why occasions like this are so special. That's why Bible study is so important. It's why we cringe when we hear churches canceling services rather than adding more services. It's why scriptural-filled sermons are so needed. It's why demanding book, chapter, and verse is never, ever outdated. God's word is true. Are you submitting to it? And friend, truth is, all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The truth is, the wages of sin that we've all committed is death, Romans 6:23. But thanks be to God, due to his love, grace, and mercy, he makes salvation available to each of you. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That gospel calls upon us to hear the truth, to hear the word of God. Romans 10:17, so that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we hear that word of God, we must have that faith that Jared spoke of earlier. We must believe Jesus to be the Christ. John 8:24, Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. We don't want to die in our sin. So we accept that Jesus is the Christ. In keeping with that, we're to repent of our sins. Acts 17:30. Times of this ignorance got looked at or overlooked, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. As we repent and turn away from sin and turn to the Lord and his will to walk in his truth, we unashamedly confess our faith in Christ before God. The Bible says in Romans 10:10, a heart man believes in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. On that good confession, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Acts 8:37. We can be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. We can have our sins washed away by the blood of God. We can be added to the Lord's church, Acts 2:47. The Lord will be faithful in the day. Jesus, the Savior, says, I'll give you the covenant. Revelation 2, verse 10. Maybe you've obeyed in times past, but you've not continued faithful. We read from a man in Acts 8, the man by the name of Simon, who believed and was baptized, he was the same man. But later he said, he was instructed to repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the fall of thine heart might be forgiven thee. He said, brother or sister in Christ, who's going astray, in truth, and that's what you need to do. And we call upon you to do, to make your life right while you have this time and opportunity, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation. Did you come right now? So together we stand. And as we stand.